Such a privilege to partner with all of our partners and have loved over the last 2 years that we've been here, just seeing those relationships deepen. Really grateful for all of our partners. I want to encourage you to take a moment, if you don't know what's going on, to go over there later and meet some of the people and get involved. I feel, as a preacher, like a kid at Christmas, because it's not often in One Hope. We tend to have fairly long series because we like to preach through whole books of the Bible. So it's not that often that you get to start a brand new book, and your Bible is probably still broken in 1 Corinthians from last year. Well, we want to break it in a new place over the next few months. We're going to be starting a series from the book of Acts, and I get to preach the first message. We're going to be in the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 1 this morning, and the whole series is called Unstoppable, but this morning's message is entitled The Story Continues, and I think it'll become apparent why I've called that, given the title for this morning's message, that title. I want to jump straight in and read Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Can we do that? In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while he was staying with them, he ordered them not to depart Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you." I can sense exasperation. "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing up into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go up into heaven." Can you imagine having been there? The Bible doesn't say it, but I think their mouths were open. And then there's two angels who are like, "What are you guys still doing here?" I think they would have been there forever if God hadn't sent angels. I know I would have been just like, "What just happened?" Well, let's dive in. My first point today, I only have two, is why have we called this series Unstoppable? Why have we called this series Unstoppable? And I want to look at just the first two verses of chapter one. And you could actually look at the last verse of the book as well, though we're not going to go there for time. But it says the gospel continued unhindered. But let's look at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. This is what Luke writes. "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began." Just say the word "began." All that Jesus began to do and teach. So my first book was about what Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. And Luke, who's the writer of the book of Acts, refers to another book. He refers to his first book. And this first book is the Gospel of Luke. And both the Gospel of Luke and this book we call Acts were written to a man called Theophilus. And the first book was all about who Jesus is and what he had begun to do while he was on the planet. It's an amazing thing to think about Jesus. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but Jesus only ministered for 3 years, and he's been doing more since his death than he was while he was alive. You see, the story of Jesus is still being written today in your life and in my life. In fact, the story of Jesus is being written in this room right now as I'm speaking. The story of Jesus. Jesus is still working today. And the story of Jesus is being written right now. It's being written every single Tuesday night as people go to Alpha and they hear the story and the person of Jesus. Jesus is writing his story on their hearts. You see, the story of Jesus is unstoppable. Kings, empires, intellectuals, other religions have tried to stop the story, but you can't. It is the unstoppable story. And if you know your Bible, the book of Daniel, at one point in Daniel chapter 2, he interprets a king's dream. King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and in Acts, in Daniel chapter 2, we see the story of a king and his kingdom. His name is Jesus, and he and his kingdom is going to be like a stone that hasn't been cut out by human hands, but it's a stone that will grow and grow and grow until it eventually destroys every other kingdom. It itself will never be destroyed. It will stand forever. It will grow and grow and grow. And Daniel chapter 2 says, it will fill the whole earth. And then we sang about it. Isaiah prophesied about this same Jesus, this King Jesus and his kingdom. And we sang about it. Isaiah said that this kingdom would increase in an unstoppable way. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Brothers and sisters, this series is called Unstoppable, because the story of Jesus contained in this book, the story of Jesus contained in the Gospel of Luke, the message, the good news, the announcement about Jesus is unstoppable. And so if Luke's first book covered Jesus' birth and his life and his death and his resurrection, if you know the Gospel of Luke, it ends in a unique time between the resurrection of Jesus, and then he spends a few days with the disciples, and then he ascends at the end of Luke. And Luke's second book starts in the same way. It is after the resurrection, but it's before the ascension. That's this hinge moment that we've just read. And so if you look at the end of Luke, this is what Jesus is recorded as having said by Luke at the end of his gospel. Luke 24, 49, Jesus said, "And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." That's the end of his first book. And the start of his second book starts in the exact same way. It actually is covering the same period of time in Jesus' life and in the disciples' life. And the second book, this book of Acts, is set also between the time of the resurrection and the ascension. And verse 2 tells us that Jesus, in that time, in those days, he gave commands to the apostles. He gave teaching to the disciples who were amongst him. And it's interesting because it says he gave commands through the Holy Spirit before ascending. Just have a look at it. "In my first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen." I want us to notice today that Luke is very specific, both in his first book and now also he's going to do so in his second book. He's pointing to the vital enabling power of the Holy Spirit in the life and the ministry of Jesus. If you look for it, you'll see it all through Luke. And even here in these last moments on the earth, as Jesus is giving his instructions, Luke wants us to know that the instructions that Jesus was giving, he wasn't just giving as a man, but he was given empowered or by or through the Holy Spirit. You see, what Luke is doing is he's keeping a vital link open between the Gospel of Luke and what's about to come, which we're going to discover over the next few weeks. And the vital link is this. Jesus was empowered by the Spirit, and he urges them, he's about to urge these disciples not to go out until they too are empowered by the same Holy Spirit that he was empowered by, which is recorded in Luke. And so Jesus said in verses 4 and 5, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, of which he said, you'd heard me from me that John baptized with water, but you will be baptized. You will be immersed. You'll be saturated with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, the book of Acts has been known since the second century as the Acts of the Apostles. If you just look in your Bible, just have a look. I don't know if your Bible says it, but my Bible says it's Acts. And then in a subtitle, it says the Acts of the Apostles. I think that's probably what your Bible probably says. But some commentators feel like this is too man-centered a title for a book that is really not just about the apostles. And so there was a commentator in 1895, and he decided a better name for this book is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And he's particularly pulling out that if you read the Gospel of Luke, it's the Holy Spirit working through Jesus that is vital, and that theme carries on here in the book of Acts. And so I think that's a helpful corrective. There are so many references to the promise of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, the fullness, the power, the witness, the guidance of the Spirit. It's such a big theme, it's maybe a helpful corrective. In fact, John Stott, the famous Anglican commentator, said this: it would be impossible to explain the progress of the gospel, which is what we're going to see in the book of Acts, apart from the work of the Spirit. Nevertheless, I think if the Acts of the Apostles overemphasizes the human element in the book of Acts, I would suggest that to call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit would be to minimize the very real people like you and me who were actually active agents and part of the whole story. And so because of that, I'm going to give you a very lengthy, cumbersome, but maybe more accurate title for your book of Acts. And you might just revert back to Acts. Let's try this. If you were to name this book, I think maybe you should call it The Continuing Words and Works of Jesus by His Spirit through His Apostles and the Church. Because not just the Apostles, but actually everyday believers get spread all over the show. So it's the words and the works of Jesus, which should remind you of Luke, the words and the works of Jesus by His Spirit through people like you and me. First those apostles, but then everyday believers and the church. Can you see why we've called this series Unstoppable? Because it is about the ongoing work of Jesus. It's the continuation of the story of Jesus, which has not yet reached completion. It's a book that kind of just ends, like hanging in midair, because it's still being written in one way. Not that your Bible's going to be added to, but that the story of Jesus hasn't stopped yet, because it's going to grow and grow and grow until it fills the whole earth. And so it's almost like there are new chapters that are being added in every generation and in every person's life. Chapters written by the work of the Holy Spirit in and through everyday people like you and me. This is an unstoppable story, because the works of Jesus, though he did speak and he did works through whirlwind 3 years of ministry while he walked on the planet, words and works that culminated in the cross and the resurrection and the ascension, They have then continued after his resurrection. In fact, his works have expanded massively so that they've spanned the globe. Jesus' works expanded first through the apostles, but then they expanded through everyday, ordinary believers like you and me. And so because of this, I want to say to you that the works and the words of Jesus, the story of Jesus is still being written. It's being written by everyday believers. It's being written every day in lives like your life and in churches like our church as we are filled with the empowering of the Spirit. And so as we embark on this journey through this book, what I've just said should really affect how you engage with this series. You see, we're not just reading the book of Acts to learn some new things. I know we're in a university town and all, but we're not just trying to learn some history. May we be filled with fresh faith. That may we ask God afresh, that He would fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. That all of us would continue the story of Jesus and do the very works that Jesus did. That's my prayer. That as we go through this series, we don't just say, oh, that's interesting. But we actually get provoked. Lord, do this again in my day. Why is this so important? I think this is so important because it's how it'll affect how we engage with these messages as we go through them. They are not just interesting stories. They're not just the history of the Church of Jesus Christ. Rather, in every message, may we pray something like this. Lord, how is your story going to continue in and through me? So actually, I want to pause right now and just pray. I want to pray not just for today, but I want to pray for every of these messages. Can you put your hand on your heart just as a kind of a sign of engagement? You can pray for yourself. You're kind of laying hands on yourself here. And if you can agree with this prayer, why don't you just kind of echo it in your own heart? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are still at work, that you're the exalted King, reigning and ruling on your throne. Lord Jesus, we remind ourselves that you taught us to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, as we go through this series in the book of Acts, Lord, would you awaken in us a desire to say, Lord, use me. Do it again through me. Jesus, write your ongoing, unstoppable story through me and through us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so the one thing I want to point out from this story today, apart from just why it's called unstoppable, is that we should receive God's help and therefore keep writing the story of Jesus. Have you ever read the Gospels and been surprised by the ragtag B-team bunch of people that Jesus gathered around him? Have you ever noticed that? We know from verse 2 that Jesus chose these guys because it actually says he chose them. But just think about the people around Jesus. If you were picking a team, would this be your team? We've got a bunch of working class, ordinary fishermen. Not the sharpest pencils in the drawer. We've got a tax collector who by some would have been considered a traitor. And a man of dubious morals, don't give him the books. We've got a political activist who thinks we should hold flags and raise banners and wear t-shirts everywhere we go. We've got a skeptic. We've got an impulsive leader who keeps putting his foot in it. He kind of needs peppermint-flavored tackies. And we've got someone who's a future betrayer. A crack team, Jesus. And these guys have made some real blunders along the way. At one point, one of them is rebuking the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not a good idea. At another time, they're arguing over who is the greatest of this bunch. At other times, the children want to come to Jesus and they're going, go away, before kidsmen became a thing. At one point, they think that this town is not really warming to the message of Jesus, so Jesus, just call fire down from heaven and nuke them. And then every one of them abandoning him, and one of them denying him three times. And then in our passage today, Jesus is, he's about to rise into heaven. He's telling them important stuff. And they ask a dumb question in verse 6. And I can just imagine Jesus, that's where the faceplant emoji came from. What are you asking now? Friends, if you read the Gospels, there's a story of Jesus and a bunch of people who just aren't getting it, who are proud, fearful, full of unbelief, and weak in faith. Does that sound like anyone you know? Not you, obviously, just the person next to you, but don't look at them right now. If you think about who it is that Jesus is leaving the expansion of the kingdom of God to as he's about to depart, is it any surprise that he told them, please don't go anywhere until you receive the Holy Spirit? Because you guys need just a little bit of help. He told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. He said, you're going to receive power from on high, because he knew they didn't have it in them. And he absolutely knew that they needed his help. They needed the help of God by the Holy Spirit. They needed to be filled with what Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16 in the ESV translation. It says, you're going to receive the helper. You're going to have someone alongside of you, the Paracletus, the one who comes alongside. And then Jesus said to them, when you wait in Jerusalem, verse 8 says, but you will receive power. You will receive help in the form of power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you will be my witnesses. Yes, this ragtag bunch will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You see, Jesus had already commissioned them to make him known to the ends of the earth. We read that in Matthew 28. But before they were to go, they were to receive something. They were to receive the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, just like these first disciples, we are not to try and fulfill the mission of Jesus on our own. We're not to try and continue writing the story of Jesus in our own strength. You see, we're not to do it because the task is too great. No one can change a human heart. And we are too weak and limited. Have you ever felt weak and limited? And the opposition we face and the enemy we face is real. And so we need the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit's first work in us is to regenerate us and to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ, to enable us to trust him for salvation. That is the greatest and first work of the Holy Spirit. And upon salvation, the Holy Spirit indwells every believer in Jesus. It says in Corinthians, you can't even say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you've believed in Jesus, you already have the indwelling presence of the Spirit. Whether you're immediately aware of the Spirit or not, you have the Spirit, because that's how you know Jesus, if you're a believer in Jesus. We know from Scripture in Ephesians, it says that the Holy Spirit seals a believer like a wax seal, saying, you are mine, guaranteeing everything that is to come. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But then we're to seek his continual infilling, like we did this morning. Thank you, Donnie and the band, for leading us so well. Oh, it just felt like the rivers of water that Nadine was speaking about, just washing over as we just lingered and sung. Hallelujah. Friends, it says in Ephesians 5:18, we're to be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. Why? Because we need the helper in our life if we're going to keep writing the story. And the helper, the Holy Spirit, is the one who, Romans says, pours the love of God into our hearts. That sounds incredibly horrible. No, that sounds amazing. It's the Holy Spirit who pours the love of God into our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit who deepens, Romans 8, our appreciation of our adoption. We're not like the children of God. We are the children of God. And it's the Holy Spirit who actually cries out inside of us, Daddy. It's the Holy Spirit who makes the love of God tangible and the presence of God tangible so that we can live a life full of assurance and enjoying and delighting in the intimacy of our Father. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals the Father to us. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus to us again and again. It's the Holy Spirit who enables us, empowers us in our battle against sin, empowers us for sanctification, and even changes us at the level of our desires so that we even want to be like Jesus. And as we obey His leading, we are increasingly conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. He is the one who convicts us and guides us and empowers us and calls us into the fullness of the life of Jesus Christ. And whenever we gather, it's the Holy Spirit that mediates the presence of the Father amongst us and directs our hearts in worship and builds the church up in spiritual gifts. And finally, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be Jesus' witnesses. Yes, us BT members get to be the witnesses of Jesus when we're empowered by the Spirit. And Jesus said, that is what would happen when the Holy Spirit came upon these disciples. They would be become His witnesses. We get transformed into the witnesses of Jesus when the Holy Spirit comes on me. Is it any wonder that this church's mission is described as the following? We say that this church, it's all about, some of you are coming on exploring membership in just a moment. We might come back to this. But we like to say that the mission of this church is to be filled, or being, because it's a continuous thing, being filled and filling Stellenbosch and the world with the hope and the life of Christ. Can you see it's another way of saying being filled with the hope and life of Jesus, with the presence of the Spirit, and continuing to write the unstoppable story of Jesus in Stellenbosch and the world. Friends, our church's mission is rooted in this idea that the story of Jesus is continually being written in our everyday lives. And that, like Jesus, and like the first disciples, we also need to be filled in order to fill our world with the message and with the hope and with the life of Jesus. And so this unstoppable story can then continue through us, not in our own strength, but rather as we are filled and empowered again and again by the Spirit of God. And so I want to urge you, receive His help. What an amazing thing to be invited in to keep writing the story of Jesus. But you can't do it on your own. Just like those disciples were told, don't go out on your own, but wait. You're not being told to wait, but you're being told to receive the Spirit so that you can write the story of Jesus. This one commentator from 1895 wrote the following. Church of Christ! ! The records of these acts of the Holy Ghost have never reached completeness. This is the one book that has no proper close because it waits for new chapters to be added so fast and so far as the people of God shall reinstate the blessed Spirit in His holy seat of control. He's saying that if we will give the Holy Spirit His rightful place in our lives and our church, the story of Jesus will keep going. And I want to encourage you, as we come to a close in just a moment, to get prayed for again. Lord, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And I want to say, if you've got real questions about this, I'm so glad you've got questions, and we want to walk with you through those questions. We've written a paper called Living in the Spirit, and it's on our website, and you can access it, or if you can't find it, come and speak to me. Your elders have taken time to write so that we can answer your questions, because we want everyone to be part of writing the story of Jesus. And next week, we're going to hear from Pete Cornford, who leads a church in London, and he's going to come back to this topic. I really want to encourage you to press in. And so in Luke's first book, the Gospel of Luke, the disciples were the eyewitnesses watching Jesus minister. And in the second book, those disciples are the ones who, empowered by the Spirit, become the witnesses to what Jesus had done during his life and through his death and resurrection. So they become the ones who not only witness what Jesus did, but they become the ones who minister like Jesus did. We're going to find that in these pages. They are empowered by the Spirit, and so they continue the story of Jesus. As I said earlier, Jesus has done more since his death and resurrection than he did while he was on earth, because he's now working through us. And this is what Jesus wants for every one of us. He wants that we would be witnesses to everyone we meet, everyone that we have contact with. Jesus wants us to be witnesses of him. That we would keep writing his story on the heads and hearts of people that we meet. The story that has spanned throughout all these generations. Brothers and sisters, no one gets to be just a church attender. Jesus wants you to be his witness. Jesus wants to write his story on the hearts of other people through you. Jesus wants you to be his agent in the world, bringing hope and life in his name by the power of the Spirit wherever you go. What an utter privilege. If it was up to me, I would have not invited us to be his representatives. Maybe you, but not me. What an utter privilege that God would involve us in writing his story throughout the ages of human history. What a privilege to be invited to co-write the biggest story of all of humanity. What an utter privilege. Let's read verses 9 through 11 as we come to a close. When he had said these things, that's primarily wait until you receive power from on high. When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. As I said earlier, I know my mouth would have just been. And angels appeared. And it's almost like they're saying, you're going to go do it now. Yes, you still got to wait for the Holy Spirit to come, but it's your turn. It's like the baton has been passed onto them. And it's like, tag, you're it. Jesus has not just left the building, he's left the planet to ascend to the Father's right hand. But he's tagged you and me and said, keep going, write the story. I want to pray for all of us. Donnie, can you maybe come up? Can I ask you to stand? I want to pray for all of us. But I also want to give an invitation that if there's anyone who particularly wants to respond as I close the meeting, I want to be able to pray for you as well. Can I invite you to close your eyes? Jesus is still writing his story. And he wants to write his story not just on your heart. You might not be a believer in Jesus this morning. I'd love to pray with you just now and introduce you to Jesus. For you, Jesus wants to write his story on your heart. But if you're already a believer of Jesus, I encourage you to lift up your hands and in your heart to say, God, would you use me? In your heart to say, Jesus, I'm available. If you've been listening to the lie of the devil and he's been discouraging you and telling you what a rubbish Christian you are, just join the very big club of rubbish Christians. I'm part of that club. Jesus isn't looking for amazing, he's looking for available. And Jesus transforms us when he empowers us by his Holy Spirit. And so why don't you just, right where you are, why don't you just ask God to fill you afresh? Ephesians 5:18. Keep being filled with the Spirit. Why don't you just speak to God in your own words? We're just going to pause for a moment. What a privilege to be invited to write the story of Jesus. Wherever you are, ask for the Holy Spirit's help. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We sang it earlier. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Just ask him. Just say, fill me, Holy Spirit, afresh. That same power that came on those disciples and transformed them. Would you enable me? Would you equip me? There are many things you're going to do with your life, but there are only some things that have eternal significance. Jesus is inviting you into co-writing the story, his story. Nothing's more important in the world. You can write that story as a single mom at home. You can write that story working for PricewaterhouseCoopers. You can write that story as a student. You can write that story as a 75-year-old. You can write that story as a 3-year-old. Just give him your yes. Say, Jesus, use me. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would empower my brothers and sisters and you'd empower me, just like you empowered those first disciples. And you promised, you will be my witnesses. And so, Lord, would you catapult us into our everyday lives to have an incredible impact wherever we go. And as we journey through this series, Lord, I pray that we would be provoked to faith and action, that you want to do it again through us. We ask this in Jesus' name.